You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts.
Hour number two, Roto Experts, live here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We're going to hit up YouTube in a bit. Go over some defensive streams and quarterback streams here for this week.
Like to stream it out.
Got to stream it out. Got to figure out what defense to pick up. A lot of people I saw on the waiver wire this week picked up Philadelphia, who is still out there. Mm-hmm. A lot of people spent some cash on the waiver wire to grab Philadelphia. So I'll talk about that coming up in a few moments. But I had some quarterback notes that I wanted to give you that surprised me. Like I said, there's a couple things that surprised me here. So I wanted to be able to go into that with you guys. And here it is. Drew Brees averages the eighth most points for quarterbacks on the year. That is less than my guy, Kirk Cousins. Eighth most for Drew Brees, everyone says, is, you know, top two quarterback with Tom Brady. Only eighth this year in fantasy football.
They're running the football more, finally.
They certainly are. Dak Prescott averages the most points for quarterbacks in fantasy football.
He's just a beast.
Yes, he is. I gave you the stat about Jacoby Brissett and Blake Bortles both averaging more than Ben Roethlisberger, which I thought was wild. Absolutely wild. How about this? Your boy Jared Goff averages more points than, forget this week, Carson Palmer.
Wonderful. Yeah.
You know, Goff is, he's a tie-in QB, too. It's like when he has the right matchup, he can take advantage of it, and he does a good job of hitting the open guy.
No, I understand that there's a bye week here and whatnot, but this kind of goes to the point we were talking about on Monday, gentlemen. Do you know who has the 25th most points for a quarterback? He's ranked 20, QB 25 through the first 7 weeks.
Matthew Stafford?
Matthew Ryan.
Wrong Matthew.
Matthew Ryan.
Yeah, I mean, I got Ryan as my starting quarterback in two primetime leagues.
Yep.
But my backups are in one league Wentz and the other one Prescott. And that's why I'll always draft two quarterbacks and have one guy with upside on my bench. Sometimes they pop.
Matt Ryan's QB 25. I know a lot of people, some people were not in on him. I don't know where you guys were, to be honest with you. But some people were not. I was not one of those guys. I thought Matt Ryan was top five quarterback coming into the year, maybe number six. And he's been, and we talked about a lot of us on Monday.
I wasn't paying the draft price that he was going this year. He was going off the board as like quarterback six, quarterback seven. I figured the value was a little bit further down the board. Wasn't going to be able to repeat what he did last year. So I kind of was off Ryan. Don't have him nowhere. I'd be willing to buy him now, though.
Really?
Yeah, I'd be willing to buy him now.
We spent 3 days talking about how terrible his offense is.
Oh, yeah, but what else are you going to get out there? What's out there now? Who's willing to sell the Matt Ryan owner?
Sure.
I think quarterback's deep enough, though, that you're probably starting somebody else. And after he didn't do it against New England, I can't have a lot of confidence in, you know, rebound going forward. This could be 2015 again.
You know, look, the confidence level is, you're obviously not thrilled with everything he's done. But I'm going to buy Matt Ryan. There's too many talented pieces on this offense. Look, I expected, like, probably about a 10% regression. Yeah. Last year was just too much of a perfect storm.
Sure.
And I thought his draft price was crazy. And I was getting late 8th round, early 9th. So
I think after 7 weeks, we've seen that there's too many talented pieces, but it's still not happening.
Take a break. We'll come back. We go YouTube Live. Talk about some defenses we're streaming here on the Roto Experts. Hey, this is Greg Sussman from the Roto Experts in the Morning, and listen, we can all use a little help sometimes. That's why I talk to three guys every single day that help me with my fantasy teams. But if you need help with your fantasy teams, and you probably do, you should purchase the Roto Experts Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football In-Season Package, featuring weekly lineup ranks, chats with our experts every single day, and player cards for every player in the NFL, including reports from InsideInjuries.com. You cannot beat it. Don't set your lineups without checking the Roto Experts Exclusive Edge In-Season Package. World! What's up? It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. It's the Roto Experts. Thank you so much for joining us today. And guys, people are looking at defenses to stream this week. We have six teams on bye, so we're talking about all the running backs you have to replace and the wide receivers and the quarterbacks as well. But you may also have to replace a defense here. Replacing a defense is simply easier said than done. You might have to put a few bucks on the waiver wire. I said it a few moments ago that the Philadelphia Eagles went for a nice chunk of change in one of my leagues. People are interested in the Eagles despite some of the injuries they've had. What other defenses can we stream here this week? One that comes to my mind is the New Orleans Saints. Now, we've said it a lot. The Saints' defense is simply better than we've given them credit for. They're not the laughingstock of the league. They're just better than they have been in years. This team is winning on running the football and playing defense. Marshawn Lattimore and Ken Crawley are a heck of a quarterback duo. They've done a nice job, and now the Saints, they face the Chicago Bears, I believe, at home here this week. New Orleans, a good defensive stream.
Yeah, you look at them, there's been some double-figure performances recently. Yes, they have given up some points to some good offenses, but in those games, they've also made some big plays, and I don't think you can expect a lot of points surrendered this week. The secondary, the corners are a strength, and what do they really have to challenge them with? I think it's easier than usual for them schematically to draw it up and defend. Let's focus on the run, and we can have our corners sit out there in one-on-one coverage.
Available in 56% of leagues. The Bears, they allow the fifth most fantasy points to opposing defenses. They're struggling to move the football. The Saints are a very good stream this week. They're forcing teams to turn over. They're forcing teams into turnovers, so I can dig
it. Yeah, and a lot of people, that's a great point by Corey, but a lot of people focus on the points allowed, but sacks and turnovers are what you want more than anything.
As Scott said, the secondary is the strong point. Trubisky's throwing, he's making a handful of attempts each week. So if you're a Jordan Howard owner, you have to expect that he's going to be really busy on Sunday. They're going to want to keep that offense off the field, number one.
Yep. And they don't pass the ball, number two. So
what happened?
And they don't actually pass the ball.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, 5-7 attempts, you know, is kind of amazing, especially this day and age in the NFL.
Yep.
And Mark Ingram, since the post-AP trade, is third in touches among running backs, you know, rushes and receptions. Only one behind Jordan Howard.
What's interesting is Trubisky's going to become the first passer ever with four completions in a game to enter Canton.
Yeah, and I can't wait until his bust is sitting next to O.J. Howard.
Yes, yeah.
And Cooper Kupp, you cut the Hall of Famer. I picked him back up.
He couldn't let him go. He couldn't quit him. Just like it. Russell Wilson.
I mentioned Philadelphia. Champion. That's obviously a very popular stream this week facing
my
San Francisco.
My top one would be Cincinnati.
Cincinnati Bengals. Yeah, they were next definitely. On my list. Cincinnati Bengals facing off against the Indianapolis Colts. And Matt, when I picked up Cincinnati a couple of weeks ago as a stream, you're like, listen, it's a stream, sure, but it's a defense I like going forward. How come?
I think it's a good unit. You know, last week they were missing Pac-Man didn't play last week, right? I'm correct on that. I know he was very doubtful.
Good question.
I don't remember him being in there, but I didn't see the whole game. But it's a good unit. I mean, maybe Burkett shouldn't even be in the league, like Le'Veon Bell has pointed out.
Yeah.
Because
Burkett's kick was ridiculous.
The crap that he pulls with kicks and pushing people, you know, it really is getting a little out of hand. And I don't blame players for getting fed up and frustrated with it. But the unit as a whole is very good. They get the Colts on the road, which to me is ideal. They're coming off of a loss. I look for Joe Mixon to be heavily involved, and you got to love him. I mean, A.J. Green is a must-start every week, obviously, but you got to like his matchup as well.
Yeah,
I think that he's going to get looked early enough.
And either team in the Thursday night game, I think, is a useful stream. That's going to be a low-scoring game, I think. Miami-Baltimore.
Yeah, I agree with that, Scotty. Yeah. On Thursday Night Football, I don't think it's going to be an offensive affair. I think what we've said, Corey, before, that if Baltimore has any sort of strength, it's in that secondary. The two cornerbacks are good. You want to stream. I think Baltimore's an interesting one, and I think Miami's an interesting one, too. I think both these defenses are out there, and I think both you can consider.
I mean,
go ahead.
I'm sorry.
No, it's all good.
I'm looking at this. I wouldn't do it, but is the Lions at home versus Pittsburgh?
We'll get to the Lions in a moment, but I do want to ask about Miami and Baltimore with you, Corey.
Yo, hey John, they're available in 72% of leagues. You know how putrid Baltimore's offense has been. I think the Bears defense scored what? A couple of weeks ago, put up a big number on them, or was that this past? Who did the Bears play this week?
The Bears played the Panthers.
It was two weeks ago. They put a big number on Baltimore. So, and you know, well, they have more playmakers, but I think Miami has just enough to get by. So yeah, I think Miami's a good stream this week. So you want to hop out there and do that. I don't know. I would worry about playing the Baltimore side of it because Matt Moore might light their ass up.
Here's what Baltimore, I think, will get you the sacks and the turnovers because, to Corey's point, Moore is going to make turnovers.
Sure.
We saw that last week. He might throw two touchdown passes, but he might get intercepted twice and sacked a few times. Miami will keep the score down.
This seems like an obvious beyond this game, these terrible offenses.
Sure.
For some reason, I just have a gut feeling just to stay away. I don't know. It's just a gut.
Well, like
defensively?
I said. Like I said, I'm not going to watch this one, so it doesn't matter to me.
I just think it looks, I don't know, maybe sometimes things don't look too good sometimes, you know.
It'd be 34-31, you take the over?
You're saying
you take the over on this one?
About 31?
Whatever the over is, you're going to take it on this one?
No, I'm not going to bet it, but
I just
have a
be contrarian.
Sure. Okay. Yeah. You asked a question a moment ago, Matt, and that was about Detroit. And I actually asked this question last Sunday or Monday. I was like, man, can I pick up Detroit against Pittsburgh? Is that crazy? Detroit's defense in general has been very, very, very solid. Much like New Orleans kind of came out of nowhere. Detroit's did too. Their defense, why are you shaking your head?
Because they got lit up by New Orleans.
Other than that game, as a fantasy defense, they've been very solid, like I said. And I know they're facing Pittsburgh, so ultimately I decided not to make that move. But they got lit by New Orleans, but in my league, they still had double-digit defensive fantasy points because they scored the touchdown, and they got the fumble recovery, and they had two interceptions. So, yeah, they let up 52 billion points against New Orleans. But, Scott, you just said you can't always look at the points allowed. They've scored double-digit fantasy defensive points every week except one.
Well, we can't ignore the 1 week. It was the most recent week. They gave up a 50-burger.
But they put up double-digit fantasy points.
But they gave up 50, though.
It was at New Orleans.
But they put up double-digit fantasy points when they scored a touchdown. You just told me points don't matter. They let up a 50-burger, but they put up double-digit fantasy points in that game.
They didn't lose negative points for giving up 50?
What
scoring system were you looking at?
They did. I'm looking at my league.
Right.
And the defense, you get points for the touchdown, you get points for the two interceptions, you get points for the fumble recovery. That all adds up, double-digit points somehow. Because remember, New Orleans also had, I believe, it was two pick. They had two pick sixes or touchdowns or whatever. So the defense themselves only let up only let up 34 of the 52 points. So they only let up 34 of those points and had a touchdown, had three turnovers. So even in that game where you're crushing them, they put up double digit points in 5 out of 6 games.
I like them. I think it's interesting, especially you get them in the right venue. So
home against Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
You're playing that Roethlisberger narrative on the road.
Yep.
Then you got to like the stream. I guess you got to like them then.
And you also want to pick them up because a week later they travel to Green Bay to face Brett Hundley, and a week later they go home to face Cleveland, and a week later they go to Chicago. So that's a run.
ROS option?
Not ROS, but they are a next month option.
I think they're
option.
An ROS option.
Let me ask you this. What about Buffalo?
So Buffalo is another defense that I wound up actually sticking with. I considered Detroit, but I wound up sticking with Buffalo against Oakland, because you had talked to Matt that liked the matchup. Somebody that I mentioned, they thought, my buddy Frank Stanfield, Fantasy Football BFF, Oakland traveling cross-country,
1 o'clock, yeah.
1 o'clock game, they face Oakland, and then they face the Jets next week, so I like that as well. And then they face New Orleans, where I will not be starting them.
I understand the Roethlisberger on the road narrative and stuff. Just when you have Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell, it is tough to start.
Yes, absolutely. But Scott mentioned it. It's not just about the points against.
That's why I'm bringing it up. It's like, I think it has legitimacy.
Yep.
But I'm scared. I'm going to be honest with you.
And I think that's fair. But that, as I mentioned, that schedule going forward is also pretty damn enticing when you're facing, like I said, the Bears and the Packers. Going forward, you're in a very, very good spot with Detroit. So, Corey, those are the kind of my defensive streams. That's all the ones I had on my list. A couple of quarterbacks to stream as well this week. We mentioned Tyrod Taylor was a top quarterback stream last week. I think you like Tyrod Taylor again against
Oakland. I broke it down. I think he's an ROS option, too. got a very, very good schedule coming up. Not you said, so you look at the weapons he has in the passing game, and you're like, okay, he doesn't have any. But the weapons are his legs. He can give you about 40 yards rushing the game. Yeah. I would go scoop up Tyrod Taylor. I think I would scoop him up. I think you can play him. He's a streaming he's going to be high in the streaming conversation every week for him on out.
And you said, I believe yesterday on The Frenzy, why can't Tyrod Taylor be this year's Marcus Mariota?
Yeah.
I think it's a really, really good point. We'll take a break. We'll come back. I'm going to give you some running back snap counts from week 7, see what we can make of those.
Oh, we got
to
do this.
You don't have to. Want to do something else? Do something else. All right. Next.
The award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network is your free fantasy source 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. You can catch this show and many others live on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn Radio. Want to listen on your computer at work? Go to fntsy.com/radio or check us out on YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page, where you can ask questions, discuss topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your questions on the air. The number is 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 days a year fantasy sports network of its kind without a subscription. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your fantasy source.
Hi, I'm Eric Thames, and you're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Corey, you seemed very against doing snap counts this morning.
I mean, it's a part of what we do. You know what I'm saying?
If you don't want to do it, I mean, I'm a thoroughly prepared host, so I have other things we could do.
Oh, let's do something else. Is there anything pressing we need to know as far as snap counts?
All right, we'll make you guess. How about I just point some certain things out? Is that okay?
That's better for me.
Is that better for you?
My brain is not working. It's warming up.
Here you go. Wayne Gallman played one more snap than Orleans Darkwa.
That doesn't mean nothing. I almost cussed just now.
Okay. Giovanni Bernard played one more snap than Joe Mixon.
Hold on. With the Giants thing, that is interesting, though, because everybody ran out and picked up Darkwa. But they weren't able to establish Darkwa, so they tried Gallman. But I think Darkwa's still going to be the guy going forward. And, you know, if you need some running back depth, I wouldn't cut him just yet.
I'm just looking forward to when you get to the Colts.
You had Thomas Rawls played six more snaps than Jerick McKinnon, who played one more snap than Eddie Lacy. But that was interesting. Giovanni Bernard, one more snap than Joe Mixon. And Marvin Lewis, by the way. You see what Marvin Lewis said yesterday, Corey?
What was that?
Basically said Joe Mixon's got to keep his mouth shut. He's a rookie. He's got to deal with
but
it.
But he was right.
Mixon complained about it openly.
That was a divisional game at the half. The kid was looking really good. I mean, if you look at the end of that game, where Andy Dalton just threw the ball away because he was tired of getting hit on fourth down.
Correct.
You know, they had you when you're establishing a run, and you know this kid who you put the gamble on early second round and all that kind of stuff, whatever, is actually fulfilling what you were hoping.
Yep.
Why do you go away from that? That was just mind boggling.
Yeah, only 7 carries. You want to get this kid in a rhythm. He looks like if you keep feeding him the ball, he's going to play really, really well.
And that's what he said, too. 7 carries in the first half for Joe Mixon.
It was a good game the first half.
Absolutely.
The second half, the Steelers were just teeing off on him.
DeMarco Murray had 13 more snaps than Derrick Henry. I thought that was interesting.
I think DeMarco Murray's suiting up this weekend as well, even though there's no game. He's putting on the pads, and he'll be there.
That's very funny. You had Denver, C.J. Anderson, who we're going to get to in a moment. 38 snaps, Jamal Charles, 18, Devontae Booker, just 11. You had Matt Forte out-snapped Bilal Powell by 7. I thought that was interesting.
Disgusting.
Mark Ingram had 5 more snaps than Alvin Kamara.
I love that.
They're using them both of them very effectively, though.
In Green Bay, Aaron Jones had 44. Ty Montgomery had just 7.
Yeah, but maybe he's probably not fully recovered from the crack ribs. But to Matt's point, you know, when Montgomery is in better health, you know, this could be more of a timeshare. But Aaron Jones is playing really, really well.
Well, Matt, you said this during the break, that you would sell Aaron Jones high. Why?
Oh, I mean, one, it's a totally different offense now. Montgomery isn't fully healthy. And I'm looking at the Cowboys. He had a big game. The Saints defense is improved, but it's mostly in the secondary is where they've improved. So I think you can run them as well.
I understand where you're coming from, though, but, like, you want to be, like, considered a good running back. You take advantage of those matchups, number one.
I'm just trying to point
that. But number two here is that you mentioned that the offense has changed. This offense is going to be heavily run-based. There's a chance, Matt, that, like, both these running backs could be very effective and useful going forward.
I put it this way. I would sell high on Aaron Jones, and if I get a really good discount, I'll buy Montgomery. Because they're still going to pass the ball in Green Bay. I'm not buying this narrative that they're just going to become, like, you know, this running team. And if they do pass the ball, part of the Ty Montgomery will catch passes. Say he comes back fully healthy after the bye. He's a guy that can do that. He sets up matchup. What they need is to take advantage of matchups. And when you have Montgomery out there and you put him in motion and do other things, it creates advantages for them. And that's what they're going to need with an inexperienced quarterback like Hunter.
Thinking of snacks. Sorry. A little hungry. But I don't – look, I agree with you, and I'm not buying this narrative that they could only bet in the passing game as last week. Because there's a lot of talent out there in the passing game. But it wouldn't shock me if this is a run-first team and Jones is very useful, maybe not an RB1. And you know, same thing with Montgomery, that both these guys are going to eat or put up good fantasy numbers. Because this guy at his best could just be another Jacoby Brissett game management type of guy. And we can still see a downturn in the receiving overall. I see where you're coming from.
I'm selling
Aaron
high. Jones away.
You're right. Yeah. I see where you come from selling high. Is he an RB1?
I mean, but Matt heard the name that I mentioned in the break, and I'm not, like, you know, a dummy. You feel what I'm saying? So there's opportunities out there for Aaron. I'm not going to say the name on air because the dude that I'm talking about trading with might be listening. But there's opportunities out there for Aaron Jones owners to make savvy moves with him.
Right. Because I'm saying, is he an RB1 going forward? Probably not. Did my rest of the season ranks on rotoexperts.com? Well, now I got him number 17 for the reasons you guys are pointing out, because, you know, it's not going to be like this every week when Montgomery is healthy.
Let's get to the Colts. This is the one you were waiting for, Matt.
Can I ask a star sit?
Sure.
I wait till after the Colts.
Thank you.
Is the one we want to talk
844-84-FNTSY.
Marlon Mack at 32 snaps. Frank Gore at 22.
All right.
Chase, look,
it's happening.
Gore's not going away, but I think we're going to see the changing of the guard. Honestly, why wouldn't it happen? This team has 2 wins on the season. Andrew Luck may or may not come back.
Likely not.
Why wouldn't you see what Mac can do for you? He's exciting. He's young. And this kid was kind of like a bell cow in college. It's not like he's just a player you could put in certain game situations. And look, you know, 34-year-old running back. I mean, we've kind of seen this season. It's trending that, you know, this is the end and a new beginning.
It's morphing. It's happening. And the thing is that this team, the interesting thing about it is this team's going to get game scripted. They might do it this week. But, you know, Mac still might be in there when they're game scripted, too. Because you don't want to throw Gore out there when you're playing from behind.
A couple of other ones before we get to your start sick question here, Corey. Jarek McKinnon had 35 snaps. Latavius Murray, even though he had the big game, only had 31. So 4 more snaps for McKinnon.
Yeah, somebody on Twitter who's a Vikings fan actually said to me, I could see Murray being the guy now because Zimmer was going to want to go to power running game. I don't see it. Not with how explosive McKinnon it is. I think it's a timeshare going forward.
Yeah, I still want McKinnon. I did look foolish on air when on Sunday with George. I was like, I really want no part of Lat Murray. And he's like, I don't think Lat Murray's done. And then puts up 100 yards in a touchdown.
Jordan Howard, 34 snaps compared to Tariq Cohen, 7. Only 7 snaps for Tariq Cohen.
Well, did have a 70-yard reception.
That was it.
They only had like 37 offense.
It's true.
Anyway, he had 34 snaps, right?
Yes,
you
sir.
Say in Jordan Howard?
Yes.
Jordan Howard, the week prior, had 36 rush attempts.
Yeah, 36 carries, yeah. Christian McCaffrey, 53 to Jonathan Stewart's 28 snaps. So basically doubled them.
He actually got some rushes. He really didn't do nothing with it, but I think he had like 7 rushes.
Yeah, this team doesn't have a running game right now.
2 more I want to get to. Devontae Freeman played 41 snaps. Corey, Tevin Coleman had just 19.
I want to know why Tevin Coleman was out the offense this week. I'm trying to figure that out. And then with that snap count, it leads more to that. So I can't really put my finger on why did they just like kind of abandon Tevin Coleman this past week. I don't know. I hope they don't do that shit. I mean, excuse me. I hope they don't do that no more.
Yeah, what's really frustrating about the Falcons is going into last weekend, I know in that one game against the Bills, he kind of missed the majority of the game. Julio Jones had 37 targets. A guy like DeAndre Hopkins had 37 receptions. So it's not using your best player adequately. And it's not like DeAndre Hopkins is open on every single play.
Sure.
And it's not like he wasn't seeing double coverage.
Yep.
Because Will Fuller missed the first few games this season as well.
Yep.
So it's just offensively, like, you have to challenge and you got to put the ball up sometimes for real.
Yeah, we've been saying that for years now with Julio, too. And it's, you know, it's like, look at that touchdown. Even though it was garbage time, he totally ripped the ball away from Malcolm Butler.
That was impressive.
Which is very impressive. But with this team right now, it's like, they have a lot of pieces, but now it's 7 weeks of disappointment.
If it was the
one thing real quick, Scott, and you're right. It has been 7 weeks of disappointment. Half the season, you have been disappointed. I look at it, and it's different than baseball. I get that. Baseball, there's more plays. There's plenty of guys the first 3 months you're disappointed in that have monster second halves. There were guys last season that started off hot and faded. So I'm just saying, if there are certain plays that you could put on your bench as opposed to cutting.
Because yeah,
a lot of people get that itchy finger, kind of like Mr. Sussman over
there.
And so sometimes, you know, and like your friend had to do. He cut one of his plays,
yep,
and then he had to go back and buy him. So that's the only thing. If you can keep some guys on your bench as opposed to putting them out there on the waiver wire, try and do that.
There you go. Those are your snap counts here for week number 7. Corey, you had a start sit question before we hit the break.
Demarius Thomas or Devin Funchess?
Funchess.
Very quick answer from the King.
Yeah. You know what?
He's got his anti-Demarius Thomas, though.
But I mean,
well, Demarius Thomas is anti-end zone.
He has been. He hasn't scored in almost a year.
This is Devin Funchess we're talking about.
You know, Funchess has a good matchup, though.
He keeps getting these 9-10 targets.
I know.
Yeah. That's what's so... I mean, look. That's a real good one, Corey. I mean... what's the matchup?
Demarius is at KC. Now
but
you can
Kansas
get
City,
they give it up. They give it up. You saw what Amari Cooper did with them. But Funchess got Tampa, and you can get down the field on Tampa.
That's why I said Funchess.
Is Sanders back this week?
I don't know.
He might be.
If Sanders is out,
they're going to be easier to defend. They can play Peter's man on him.
One side, so you can move Demarius away.
Yeah.
I'm playing Devin Funchess over Demarius Thomas. That's my answer.
And you
Devin
like
Funchess.
You were a Thomas guy, too.
I was a Thomas guy. But when we come back, our first either or of the day is Demarius Thomas. Let's see where everybody is on him next here on the Roto Experts.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
In PPR leagues, do you know what Demarius Thomas is ranked? A wide receiver.
In PPR leagues, my guess is Demarius Thomas would be wide receiver anywhere between 35 and 40.
I gotta think it's hard.
I'll say 25.
23.
Give me a number there?
36. He's wide receiver 36.
He had a couple of really bad games, two out of the last three, but he did put up some numbers earlier.
Not a touchdown, though. Yeah, obviously. Wide receiver 36 here on the year is Demaryius Thomas. 36 in PPR leagues. I have some other stats that we find interesting, given that we are through 7 weeks here when it comes to wide receivers. And this idea kind of spawned on me when we were talking yesterday, Corey, about a trade. And you mentioned Tyreek Hill. I'm like, Tyreek Hill is the number two wide receiver. In your league, he's number three. University's inside the top five everywhere.
No,
people aren't realizing that Tyreek Hill is a top five wide receiver this year.
He has the big blow up games. You feel what I'm saying? He has the big blow up games. But then if you do it as a point per game on a point per game in the PPR, he's right outside the top ten. I got him at wide receiver 11, averaging 15 points a game. You'll take that and see. And with him, so much of what Tyreek Hill was, and I was right on this, was roster construction.
Yeah.
You want him as a wide receiver 3. You do not want him as a wide receiver 1. Wide receiver 1, you're like, this is not getting it done, not working out. As a wide receiver 3, I'm like, hey, yeah, but it's working
points,
for me.
The points per game thing. Where in points per game wide receivers,
yep.
Where is Amari Cooper?
Amari Cooper in points per game. Now it's Amari Cooper in points per game is 30.
That's fine.
That's a major move, though. He was like,
he probably was 90. 80.
I understand that. It gets you. Tyreek Hill, I said it after that Thursday night game against New England week one.
Yep.
I'm taking the L on him. Some people refuse to take the L. They make, you know, other kind of excuses. But you know what? When you're wrong on somebody and it's that evident, look, not every week he's going to get 20 points. But the guy can even do it on the special teams in the weeks that he doesn't put up the doesn't catch a pass. Look, you're very happy if you have Tyreek.
Yeah, Lee, yeah. Some people overlook that. That's a great point by Matt. You look at your scoring. Some people overlook the fact that in some leagues you get like 3 points for or 6 points for a punt return touchdown to the individual. So that's a good point.
Another thing: who would you rather have? ROS, Jarvis Landry, or Tyreek Hill?
I'm going to take Tyreek Hill.
I take Hill, but I love Landry right now.
Landry's been excellent.
Rest of season ranks on RotoExperts.com. I got Tyreek Hill, I believe, number 6, and Landry number 10.
Jarvis Landry is also inside the top 10 for wide receivers going thus far this year. Both Landry and Chris Hogan sit inside the top 10. Hogan, along with his teammate, Brandon Cooks, safely inside the top 10. I know you've had some questions about Brandon Cooks. Cooks actually now has more points than Chris Hogan.
Yeah, you know what's crazy about Landry? I'm sorry. He doesn't have a 100-yard game yet.
Going into last week, Hogan and Cooks were like tied with fantasy points or something. Yeah. And look, Hogan had the same week he's pretty much had every single week. He just didn't score a touchdown.
Correct.
That's the only difference.
Correct.
But I've been saying it. Brandon Cooks going into last week, he is a supreme buy. I don't know, like I said, last week.
Supreme.
I would have taken Brandon Cooks over Amari Cooper if that trade came after that game.
Mm-hmm.
For rest of the season.
You have Jordy Nelson and Devontae Adams in PPR leagues are separated by 2 points. 2 points. And I also read a stat yesterday that it was Xavier Rhodes for Minnesota and Marshawn Lattimore for New Orleans. Both of those guys shut down cornerbacks playing against a player in particular. They ran with Devontae Adams. They did not run with Jordy Nelson. I kind of speculated about that when it came to Minnesota. I don't want to say it changing the guard here, but it's clear that opponents feel that Devontae Adams is the biggest threat and not Jordy Nelson.
I agree. I mean, he's a different player since coming back from that injury. If you look at his total, 79 yards receiving, 52, 75, 24, 60, and 13. Okay, 13 was with Hungley. But, I mean, this is a different play. Look, he's 32. The touchdowns is what his first few games. He had, what, 6 touchdowns? If he's not scoring touchdowns, he's like an old Dez Bryant right now.
Here's the thing, though. You look at that, though. You know, teams are going to do a lot of motion. You know, they're going to, like, move guys around, too, though. So, you know, Adams will end up sometimes on the top cover corner because that's the way it's schemed.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think the guy that really gets crushed is Cobb.
Yeah.
And it was looking so good early on.
Yep. Nelson Agholor has more PPR points than Julio Jones.
Yeah, that's just
Aguilar's had a great run so far. It's like 5 touchdowns. He's really, like Jake was saying yesterday on Fantasy Football Frenzy, he's really taking a beat being in the slot.
Yeah.
And Wentz really looks for him, but the hash mark, that slant pattern over the middle to Aguilar has become very, very dangerous.
Yeah, he's another guy, but he's had 2 games with over 60 yards receiving. It's just the touchdowns.
Yep.
You know, when you score 5 touchdowns in 7 games, that's going to...
The other thing about it is, though, and we're going to see more of it, though, it's not just a slant. He can also break the big play downfield.
I will give him credit. He's, you know, he's a guy that I kind of wrote off coming in. But the Eagles made it known. Like, when they traded Jordan Matthews, they were pretty much saying, we trust this guy enough to put him in the slot. This was a big year for Wentz, and it's turned out great. But, you know, they had the faith in him. They got a good player like Darby. So, shout out to them.
Jermaine Kearse has 1 less PPR point than Dez Bryant. 1 point less than your boy Dez Bryant, Corey, is Jermaine Kearse.
Yep. No, well, Dez Bryant also averaged 14 fantasy points a game.
And I think Kearse played 1 more game, right?
Yep, and Kearse has played 7 games.
But, I mean, Kearse is
6.
A guy you would
still
love,
yeah,
you no, would love to have on your bench. If he's if he's like wide receiver depth.
Let me tell you, I have him in 2 leagues, and he has been absolutely wonderful. You get a situation where you got you got Devontae Parker banged up. Mm-hmm. You got this, whatever situation
Golden
you have.
Golden Tate is out.
Golden Tate, and you can pop. He's not going to tear the roof off the joint. But he's a guy that you can put in there and feel good. He's the type of player that when you have him on your team, you're happy.
Yeah, here's the thing, too. It's like McCown is throwing the ball, and when he looks for a big play, especially in the end zone, he goes to Kearse.
There you go. There you go when it comes to Jermaine Kearse. I mentioned Demaryius Thomas. Since returning, Will Fuller is averaging 18 points per game because he scores so many touchdowns. Tyrell Williams, Dante Moncrief, and Terrell Pryor.
Well, just real quick, you mentioned Will Fuller. They're playing at Seattle this week. So this is going to be very interesting, Deshaun Watson going into the 12th man and all that. Is it a Will Fuller game? You figure that Hopkins is going to be the one that's keyed upon?
I think you know what they're going to do because Seattle doesn't change their defensive look for anybody. They're probably going to sacrifice Fuller and work Hopkins on the other side. I think it's going to be a Hopkins game.
I think every game is a Hopkins game. He's number 2 overall wide receiver.
Yeah, I mean, those targets are just, it's amazing. That's when you...
Yeah, but people ask that because they're not as astute on this as Matt is, because I just got an email about this from a listener, and they said, what Seahawk cornerback is going to cover DeAndre Hopkins? And I had to tell them, they don't play man-to-man. They play a cover-3 shell, and they don't budget. So one receiver is going to go on Sherman's side, and it's probably going to be Fuller, and he's going to be sacrificed. And Hopkins is going to be on the other side, and they could try to double cover him.
So, considering what we saw versus the Giants, I know different opponents and teams are going to scheme a bit different there. But and Ingram's a much better player. But Griffin, does he have more appeal? You know, they were looking. You know, the tight end was one thing that was open in that game.
That's historically been the one thing about that cover-3 shell is you can attack it underneath, over the middle. Between the linebacker and the safety, so there is some appeal there.
Okay, couple of other things I wanted to mention: Tyrell Williams and Dante Moncrief and Terrell Pryor are all averaging less than 10 points per game. So that doesn't really surprise me.
Yeah, this is the reason why we talked about cutting Terrell Pryor. So
and cutting Tyrell Williams and cutting Dante.
Tyrell Williams,
Dante Moncrief is going to the waiver wire today.
All 3 of those guys should be cut.
Well, I was saying now is the time Prior with the other 2, they should have been cut.
Cooper Kupp is the only Rams wide receiver, and that includes Watkins, obviously, and includes Robert Woods. Cooper Kupp is the only Rams wide receiver
that averages double digits
and is ranked inside the top 36.
Woods is the best officer in football. Woods is not scoring, but he's giving you something of a decent PPR floor recently, though.
He is, but when it comes to just overall points over the full season, it's Cooper Kupp is the only wide receiver inside the top 36. Last note, and it's the big one here. Antonio Brown isn't surprising, right? Antonio Brown is wide receiver 1. DeAndre Hopkins, as I mentioned, is wide receiver 2.
Right.
Antonio Brown has 35 more points than DeAndre Hopkins.
Yep.
I don't see where the train stops. He's the best player in fantasy.
Correct.
And he should have been. You know what? He should have been 1-1 this year.
I know.
He should have been 1-1.
Yeah.
Putting those dudes in front of Antonio Brown, those running backs.
What are we doing?
Why?
What are we doing?
Should have been 1-1.
He's the safest player in fantasy football.
Couple of quarterback notes that
you know what? I'm sorry. You know what people don't talk about too? And look at David Johnson going down, et cetera. The durability.
People don't talk about that enough. AB don't miss games. He was on Dancing with the Stars. They're normally good athletes on Dancing with the Stars.
Victor Cruz on Dancing with the Stars. He wasn't. He turned it down. I'm sorry.
Victor Cruz was the thing.
Emmitt Smith
was
on there after he retired.
He won it.
Yeah.
A couple other notes that I had here. Phillip Rivers is actually a top 10 quarterback this year.
Yeah, right, volume.
Their
yeah.
volume. There you go. Jared Cook, a top 12 tight end. We said that earlier on in
the
show.
Shows how sorry to stay the tight end is.
And Jimmy Graham is not a top 12 tight end. In fact, Jimmy Graham is averaging less than 10 points per game.
Probably leads all tight ends in drop passes.
Probably so.
I wonder what it's like the last few weeks, though. Since when was their bye, Scott?
They just had their bye week, before this week.
26.
Yeah.
I want to look at Jimmy Graham. I think he's getting better.
A couple of more tight end notes when we come back. This is the Roto Experts.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things. Just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
There you go. So it's Jimmy Graham. Less than 10 points per week on average. But he's getting better, says Corey Parson, fantasy executive.
He's improving, Jimmy Graham. I think Jimmy Graham's a player you're going to like having ROS. He's going to be frustrating at moments, but I'm willing to go with Jimmy Graham. You know what I'm saying?
You know what's interesting to me? Hunter Henry averaging over 12.5 points per game. And this is with those two donuts at the beginning of the year.
Henry's just getting crazy. It together now, too.
He's really becoming more than just a touchdown guy. You know, Matt was right on him.
Playing significantly more snaps as well than Antonio Gates.
So. Yeah, but Antonio Gates is...
Wave a wire.
My rest of the season ranks on RotoExperts.com right now. He's not my top 30.
So there you go, that's Antonio Gates. Over the five games that he has played Tyler Croft, we talked about him. He's a big waiver wire priority for a bunch of people picking up tight ends this week. Tyler Croft is averaging double-digit PPR points. So I think that was interesting.
He looks to him in the red zone, in the green zone.
Absolutely. Thank you. Jesse James is averaging more points than your boy Ben Watson.
I think a lot of that's early in the season.
Early
in the season. Vance McDonald is now like really the top tight end for Pittsburgh. Not that it matters.
Well, he is average. It was still on average. And then here's your real boy, Corey. Your boy Darren Fells. That's your guy.
My guy.
That's your guy. Darren Fells is averaging more points than Martellus Bennett.
Yeah, and Martellus Bennett is not a thing. He's a better NFL player than he is a fantasy asset.
But the tight end's not a thing in Green Bay.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting. The tight end actually led the team in receiving last week.
Well, I'm saying without Aaron Rodgers, but like, what did they do last week? It was nothing.
I believe he led the team in receiving, Scott, with 16 yards.
16. Like I said, the tight end's not a thing.
Well, no, but the offense, it wasn't a thing in Green Bay.
When the offense was good, the tight end was never a thing.
Well, you tell that to Corey and in the playoffs.
Yeah,
he did that on purpose.
The tight end was the thing. The tight end was the thing in that one, obviously, for sure. So there you go. So those are the tight ends and thus far the season. Same with the quarterbacks as well. And I still can't get over the stat that Jacoby Brissett and Blake Bortles are averaging more points per week than Ben Roethlisberger. I think it's just a crazy stat.
Yeah, it's not the home road splits anymore for Roethlisberger. It's everywhere.
But in fantasy... It's the garbage time. You can do it in certain scenarios. It was the opposite for Blake Bortles this past week. He did it early on. So, it was the Colts.
Yeah, usually the good quarterbacks do it early on. And sometimes they even sit out the rest of the game, like in the third quarter or whatever. But that's a good point because Roethlisberger's not playing catch-up at all.
Yeah, and the one time he had to play catch up, that did not go well.
It was five interceptions later. So there you go. That is the latest on those guys, Ben Roethlisberger, and the quarterbacks and tight ends. We have some running back facts tomorrow on the show. I think that could be fun. Coming up next hour, we'll play a little either or with Demaryius Thomas, but other wide receivers.
Quick question.
Yes, sir.
At some point, does Mitchell Trubisky, you know, get unleashed? Do they allow him to throw,
I don't know.
To throw the I think this week they're going to have to.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't think they will.
Here's the thing. He doesn't have anybody to throw to.
I mean, neither does Tyrod Taylor. I mean, you just got to.
Tyrod Taylor is a more experienced quarterback.
Have a Tariq Cohen, who you saw the other week. He had one catch for 70 yards. You have to get this guy involved. You have to do whatever necessary. Look, I know he likes the tight ends for when he does try to throw a pass and stuff. But I just think at some point they have to. Look, the Bears aren't as abysmal as maybe we thought. At least at home,
the wide receiving crew is.
Yeah,
and
when
your second running back is your best playmaker,
though, they lost Cam Meredith, Kevin White. They were relying on, you know, when you lose your top two receivers, it hurts any team.
Well, that's obvious, but it's really, really desperate right now. I mean, look, they cut Deontay Thompson, and look what there's a difference right there. There's a difference right there. Why you see Tyrod Taylor has nobody. Tyrod Taylor is a better quarterback who makes his receivers better.
Trubisky's
not at that point yet.
More, but look, I mean, look at rookies. I mean, you can't just say that. You got to unleash them at some point. Deshaun Watson played that first game, that start against the Bengals, and I mean,
but he's got playmakers. What's there to unleash?
But at least he can throw the ball. Kendall Wright is a possession receiver. You can throw the ball to.
What, three catches for 30 yards, probably?
I'm not saying he's somebody I want on my fantasy team. But I'm just making the point. They're going to have to open it up, and I think this is the week. They may. I mean, look, you're going into New Orleans. New Orleans is going to put up points. It's not at home. It's at New Orleans.
How can you open it up, though, against a team that's so aggressive, and you have no weaponry? It may not be a good idea to open it up.
We take a break. When we come back on the program, we'll get into some either or, some of the headlines, of course, from yesterday. Live on television, this is the Roto Experts.